Hello there, UWP Professor George coming at you today in the wild, wild world of marketing. Today we're going to work on market research. Now, market research is both extremely simple in concept and extremely complex, or can be complex, in execution. The simple fact of the matter is we want to learn more about our business so we can make better decisions that help us to achieve our goals. And that's what marketing research is all about. How do we make better decisions? So, and there are all kinds of different ways we can use research. We can evaluate results, we can explore opportunities, we can solve problems. But at the end of the day, we want to make more effective decisions. And also, marketing research can help us to build competitive advantage. And building competitive advantage is what running a good business you should always be focused on. Is how do we do a better job for our customers? So to get started, there are basically three types of marketing research. There's exploratory research, descriptive research, and causal research. Exploratory research covers learning about opportunities and problems and needs and strategies. That is where we go out and we say, why are things happening? Descriptive research is things that get us facts. We can identify the size of a market, our number of customers, our market shares, the market shares of competitors. And causal research is where if I do X, I get Y. If I run a promotion like this, I get this result. That would be causal research. Then we get into what we call secondary data and primary data. Secondary data is data that's already available, such as sales reports, customer records, databases, websites. That is, the data is already there. It's been done from some other purpose, and we use it for our marketing research. That's called secondary data. Secondary data is often free. It's fast. It's already available. However, secondary data may be inaccurate, poorly formatted, outdated, or it can be expensive if you're purchasing it. So what I usually do when I'm going to do a market research project based, if it's exploratory, descriptive, or causal, I'll use secondary data first because it's already there and maybe I can draw some conclusions or at least learn about the current situation of whatever problem I'm studying. So then we get into what type of secondary data. I really like sales data. You might have point of sale data, promotion spends, website analytics, social media, whatever that may be as far as data you already have available to give you some insight into what's going on. You can also use Google searches, trade association information, industry publications, third-party databases such as Statista. And again, the data may be free or may be very costly. And then we get into primary data. Now, primary data is where you actually go out and do the project yourself. So if you talk to the next five customers that come in and do brief interviews with them on some sort of a product, that is data and information that you have gathered specifically for your research question, and that is called primary data. So you can do surveys, you can do observations, you can do focus groups, personal interviews, or A/B tests, and those are primary research tools. Now, the advantage of primary data, it answers a specific question. However, primary data it can be very costly, it takes a lot of time, and there's a lot of poor methodology that's used, and a lot of times the results you get may be incorrect or misleading in many cases. Now, as we move beyond the concepts of exploratory, descriptive, causal, and also secondary and primary research, I'll talk about a few techniques and tools that we use here to actually conduct marketing research, and that would be market scanning, qualitative, quantitative, and digital techniques. Market scanning is the acquisition of the information related to the relative market. So you might subscribe to trade journals, you might go to websites, you might monitor competitors, you can do Google searches, you can set up Google to send you articles for specific subjects, You can follow certain influencers, and effective marketing and business managers will scan the market for trends and events and changes in the market. And if you understand your market, you can then adapt your business to these market changes as they occur, and you can stay on top of the changes and hopefully build some competitive advantage there. Now, when we get into qualitative and quantitative analysis, qualitative analysis are going to be more subjective, and quantitative analysis is numbers. And I think you need both. I think you need both. You can get carried away with qualitative analysis and how things feel, and you can get carried away with quantitative analysis and the actual measures. So quantitative analysis tend to ask the what of marketing, and qualitative analysis ask why. So if you looked at your, let's do a quick example. Let's say you have a product and it's selling really well and the sales are up 50%. Okay, that's what. But why are they up? What happened? So you could go to customers and say, hey, why are you buying more of these products? Or if you have a new customer, why are you here? You know, maybe a competitor ran out of product. Maybe a competitor changed the business. Maybe something happened with a supplier. Maybe there's just an increase in the business overall for some reason. So you want to ask what, but you also want to ask why. So quantitative analysis are measures with numbers. Oftentimes we'll do statistical analysis on these to come up with some sort of, statistical significance or confidence intervals or whatever, standard deviations, means, modes, and you can run these tests and apply statistics to them. We also use them in doing predictive modeling, forecasting, and data mining, and these are the facts and the data. And I like to use these as the base of the marketing research, and then monitor these quantitative analysis on an ongoing basis. Now, we took a qualitative. This is the why. We can involve insight into this and look out as far as, you know, what's going on, why is it going on, and maybe where opportunities are. Now, good qualitative tools can be like focus groups, personal interviews, observations, surveys, and of course, surveys can be turned into, you can turn any of these tools actually into a quantitative tool. But for example, let's say you ask a question of brand loyalty on a scale to 1 to 5, you know, and the customers and your average is a 2.5, you know, that qualitative question has now been quantified. So it's kind of interesting how sometimes qualitative and quantitative get mixed up a bit. The point is, can you make a better decision for this? The point is, do you understand your market? The point is, do you know your numbers? Now, another good example is using digital marketing. Now, I break digital out from qualitative and quantitative because it's both. And also, I think digital marketing is an interesting area that should be focused on specifically, such as looking at social media. So you can do quantitative analysis on your social media. You can look at analytics, look at how many visits, how many views, how much was shared, how many engaged. You can do polls. You can do all kinds of things with social media that are from a quantitative basis. And then you can also look at the comments and maybe gain some qualitative and why insight from it as well. And the thing about digital marketing research, it's fast and responsive. I know of a couple of businesses I've watched on Facebook. Well, they'll go out and test like a flavor of an ice cream real quickly, just to see if there's any interest in it. And then if they get an interest, they may actually launch the taste. So for this part of the marketing research, we really want to be focusing in on gathering information through market scanning, qualitative methods, quantitative methods, and digital methods. In the last part of this podcast, I'm going to cover how do we actually conduct marketing research and what's the process. Marketing research is a great tool to facilitate more effective decisions. And, you know, in my experience, great marketers, great business managers are curious about their marketing area, inquisitive. They want to know what's going on. They want to know why it's going on. How can we use data to help us make better decisions? How can we put data and insight together to make effective decisions? So let's talk about a process here. And a process of marketing research that I typically follow is a six-step process. Number one, we want to define our subject. What is the problem or opportunity that needs data to facilitate a decision? What are we trying to learn? And the more specific the subject, the better. Let me give you an example. Sales are up 10%. Well, that's an interesting concept, but I would want to know what sales are up 10%. Why are they up? What is going on? I would want to dig into that a little more deeply before I really conducted a market research project here. So try to stay away from broad, poorly defined subjects that really won't yield actionable data for it. Dive into things that more dive into hypotheses and issues that are more specific. Then the second phase after I define the subject is develop an actual research plan. What type of research is needed? Is it more quantitative oriented? Is it qualitative oriented? Is it digital oriented? Is it all three? What's the time frame? How are you going to use the data to make a decision? And does it fall into descriptive, exploratory, or causal in nature? And is there a hypothesis to be tested? Now, if you're going after statistics and you're going after quantitative, or call it quant, you know, then hypothesis testing is very interesting and very valuable. But don't fall into the trap of, as I've seen some, that if it has to be a hypothesis to be tested, otherwise it's not good research. That's incorrect in running businesses, because quite often I just don't have good data sets to analyze. So I have to go more qualitative. Even though it might not be statistically relevant, it's relevant in making a decision. And that's a big difference. That's a big difference. Remember the what versus the why. The why is also very interesting. All right, now the third step of the plan is collect and review secondary data. Now, we use secondary data because it's already available and can often provide a base for our research as we move through. So, and oftentimes it'll just end right there. Maybe you do a brief secondary data review and you find out that the market has declined 50% in the last 3 years and because customers are switching to something else. Well, that's going to bring that project to a swift end. So, you know, sometimes secondary data gets you what you need to know, either for to make a positive decision or a negative decision on something. And then the fourth step is we may go ahead and collect primary data through a focus group, a survey, interviews, an A/B test, or an observation. So I'll give you an example. Let's say we were trying to design, you know, a website front page that could increase our conversions. So we would define our subject. That's the opportunity. This website, the front page website design. We might do a research plan here. Now, this is going to be quantitative from the number of conversions, but also qualitative. What kind of concepts can we apply to this? This is probably going to be more of an exploratory, when explore options. And we can also do causal. We'll actually be able to test this A/B. Might be some descriptions in it too, that, you know, where we are today. We can collect and review our secondary data on good, you know, website design and increasing conversions. And then we might do an A/B test where we design two options, or maybe we just leave the first option. We just design one option and then we do an A/B test where on a random basis, visitors come to the site and some of them get the A version and others get the B version. And over time, we can compare the two and see which ones converted more effectively. And then we can also test those as we move through our research project here, which brings us to the fifth step of our process, and that is analyzing the data. If we've done a hypothesis test, we can then do the statistical analysis. We can and test our hypothesis. We can summarize the qualitative data and reach our conclusions versus insight. And we can formulate our conclusions and recommendations and action plan. And then the last step, number six, is we would present our results to the stakeholders. You know, if you're in a larger business, you may want to present your marketing research to, you know, the marketing and sales department. Or if you're in a small business, your presentation is pretty much done when you actually do your conclusions. Now, one thing to watch out for that is really important in conducting market research is watching out for bias during all steps of the marketing research process. Bias reduces the quality of information and can reduce the effectiveness of our decision making. And we all see what we want to see. We all will be, you know, blind to things that are outside of what we think should happen, and we will accept very readily things that we agree with. And bias can occur, you know, when you're selecting your samples, when you interpret your results. It can occur through your research methodology and presentation. You really need to say, I'm going to be totally objective here, and the data is the data. Now, another couple of questions that usually come up, and there's an old saying in marketing research I found to be very relevant. And this saying is, be very careful with the questions you ask, because if you ask the question, you will get an answer. But that answer may have little relevance to your question, or maybe completely misleading. And as I point out to my students in classes, I can often ask questions. I will ask questions, and I can basically lead them to any answer I want. So you want to make, or poorly worded questions, you know, that the customer has to interpret. Well, they may interpret it in a completely different way. So you want to make sure that you're trying to be as unbiased as possible. And I hearken back to a story one time when I was preparing to launch this product, and I asked a couple of key customers whether they would buy it at launch, and they'd say yes. Well, then I'd go out after the product launch, and I'd say, well, you know, I'm here to write your order for the product. And well, not so fast there, son, not so fast. You know, we have to test it on in our operation, or, you know, or you priced it. You didn't, you know, we'd never pay that price. You know, I should have asked the question, under what circumstances would you not buy the product at launch? And that would have been actually more illustrative of their needs and desires than asking the point blank question. So be very careful with the question you ask. Another one that I have found to be a huge problem is self-selection bias. And this is the concept where customers who love you, well, they'll respond to you. And customers that hate you, they'll respond to you too. It's the ones in the middle that don't know, don't care, aren't aware, that they won't respond at all. But that's really the ones I want to talk to. So you have to be very careful about the self-selection bias here when you do surveys, when you ask questions of customers. So to wrap this up, marketing research should be an ongoing, vigilant, and constantly improving your strategic direction through the collection of data, through the collection of insight, and through the collection of information to help you make better decisions and build competitive advantage.